Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody in uniform, please just let them know that you know that they're there. A simple wink, a handshake, or anything you'd like to do would be greatly appreciated to all the men and women in uniform. Tonight's programming is brought to you by the real estate team of Joe Giordano. Joe can be reached at the Weicker Real Estate Office at 246 South Palm Ave, Pineapple Avenue in Sarasota, Florida. Joe's cell number is 941-876-8877, and he's got a full team of people to make a close for you, help you get a mortgage, and to be able to get a good price for your house. So if you need any real estate needs in the state of Florida, give Joe a call. Well, Z, what should we start with? Should we start with the debacle with the McGregor debacle, or should we just leave that alone since they both got suspended for 10 days.
Well, I mean, we're supposed to be a boxing show, I guess, but the name is Fighting Words, so I guess we can cover all of them. Not as much a debacle as that's how fights go. We're not going to talk about the pre-fight trash talking and the reported slander or anything like that. We're going to actually talk about the fight to where, I mean, you had two different opposing styles dealing in MMA, which are definitely you're going to have most of the time. You have Khabib Nurmagomedov. He is he's a straight brute wrestler. He wants to get inside. He wants to get skin to skin with you. He wants to get you on the ground, and he wants to maul you. He's not a big finisher on the ground, but he's very, very adept at controlling you, controlling your body, and keeping you in top control. To where Conor McGregor, as we all know, he is a flighty foot guy with power. He's very quick, has very good footwork. He's not. He will kick. He will throw kicks. Not really big on kicking, though. He's trying to lay his mitts on you. He's trying to put his fist on you. He's trying to knock you out. He has, as I said before, he has good footwork. He will dart. He will dance around. He'll lay some combinations on you. And he's also pretty good at wrestling and takedown defense. With that said, usually in every fight, and really I'm going to go to street fights with this. Because it's hard to equate boxing with this. MMA, you can equate it a little more with street fighting. But with street fighting, there's usually always a circumstance where distance is cut and people are going to get skin to skin. And in that case, the stronger guy who knows how to wrestle usually is going to win. And that's what happened with Khabib and Conor. Conor, he could not keep the distance from Khabib early in the fight. And when Khabib got him down, he kept him down. Every round, the fight ended in the fourth round, and every round, Khabib got Conor down there. But Conor did very good in the third round. Conor, he kept standing for the most part. It looked like Khabib was taking a break. What I will commend Khabib with is Khabib took his break on his feet. And Conor wasn't able to, not even really, he wasn't able to do any damage. And Khabib dropped him with a hard overhand right. So, I mean, obviously Khabib has been working, he worked on his overall game, and his wrestling took effect. And in the fourth round, he was on top of Conor, he wore him out. In the second round, he kind of brutalized Conor on the ground. Conor, all credit to Conor, Conor's tough. He took it. He weathered and he came back in the third round. But in the fourth round, Khabib put him down. He got the beating on him. Then he put Conor in a chokehold. Not sure if he was as much choking him or as much wrenching his neck. But either which way, it looked like a neck crank. And either which way, Conor tapped. Yes, Conor tapped. Khabib, he let go. I thought he would hold on, but Khabib let go. As Khabib was getting up, he mushed Conor in the head a little bit, started talking, you know, a little trash. Herb Dean immediately stepped in between. Khabib, he walked away from Conor, as he walked away, he started yelling at Conor's trainers and his team. He threw his mouthpiece at the cage toward them. And from reports, his team, Khabib's team was, it was an altercation right after the fight between Khabib and Conor's team, to where I guess a member of Conor's team might have shoved where it started, and that is supposedly the cause why Khabib left the cage. Now, he was there was a doorway right there where Khabib could have walked out of, but the security was coming in just to kind of stop that. So that was more or less the reason why Khabib jumped the cage Rockstar dove. Yeah, he jumped over the cage and Rockstar dove into the crowd and immediately started fighting and swinging. As I say, that's the most I'm going to talk about that. Those are the facts. I just want to speak on the facts, not any whys or any thing. But what I am going to speak on another fact is – the MMA, they talked and they were talking about sanctioning and all of that. They talk, they are currently holding Khabib's purse of $2 million.
Uh-huh. Right.
Khabib has made a statement to where he's a little upset, but he said that they can hold the $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
He said it because and it's more or less about his teammate, his team.
Mm-hmm.
Because his team came in, they hit Connor, at all of the altercation. It was a lot of stuff. So they're talking about firing his team. Khabib has proven to be a loyal guy. All in all, he's an emotional guy, and apparently things build up. You can see he was sort of calm and kind of dismissive toward Connor. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what's this guy talking about during the fight? I mean, yeah, he was kind of like that. After the fight, it wasn't even, the focus wasn't on Connor. It was on his team. So as far as that goes, that is, you know, that is a little different. But Khabib, as I was saying, Khabib said that if MMA fires his teammate, they could keep his $2 million. He's leaving. And Khabib is well taken care of in his own place. That's one thing. Khabib he's well taken care of, and he's looked highly on. And as you can see, outside of jumping out of the cage, the lead up to the fight, he seemed to be, kind of an honorable guy who got a little ticked off. Connor's brash. Connor is who Connor is. I'm not taking anything away from Connor by talking about Khabib. But Khabib is an honorable guy. And you can see that when somebody pokes and prods at you a certain way, and you can see the responses in certain people to kind of tell their character. And it's one thing to promote, but it's another thing when one guy is promoting and the other guy's not feeling it. Another guy's kind of doing something else. We see it in boxing all of the time. To where you have one guy, Bernard Hopkins, he was the master promoter. He'll get under a guy's skin, or a guy will have to deal with him. A guy will have to not let him get under his skin. But there are certain guys that no guy's pride. That's one thing in the sport. You have guys like, like an Andre Ward. There's just certain guys whose character are just hard to poke and pride and get under their skin because they either don't react that way or they always react that way. Guys who are mean, who try to get under your skin, you tend not to get under their skin, like a Bernard Hopkins. Or guys who don't ever react to that, like an Andre Ward, those are the guys who those tactics don't work on. But people are humans. People feel certain things, and certain other people can get under their skin, no matter what they talk about. I'm not getting into that, but you can see that. That's a fact, that you saw that with Khabib and Conor. You saw it leading up. And here's another issue. The MMA promoted the bus incident with Conor and Khabib. Oh, I'm sorry, the USA. The USC promoted the bus incident where Conor apparently attacked the bus and where Khabib was on and hurt several other people. Yeah, attacked the actual bus. Him and his crew, his team, whoever, his studies, his road dogs, however you want to say it, they came 40 feet and they attacked the bus where Khabib was on. Connor broke a window on the chair, however it went. But he hurt several other people, MMA people, UFC fighting participants. And there were other staff on the bus, non-fighting staff. And we know that Connor was charged. But here's the thing. The UFC promoted that leading up to the fight with Khabib. They endorsed it. They kind of actual other participants that had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, I understand, you know, when to be, you know, they didn't set, and here's the big thing. He was not disciplined by the UFC at all.
Mm-hmm.
So now Khabib jumps over the fence or jumps over the gate and does that. They want
and his team.
More or less they wanted they said that his team is done.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Khabib is more or less that's his side of the fence. I understand now Khabib did that all eyes are on the UFC, excuse me. Where all eyes are on the UFC. Everybody's looking. That's the biggest event this year, apparently. So when he does that's what Dana White's going to be upset. That's where the UFC gets upset. But there are two sides to every story.
Right. Hey, let me, not to change the direction there or anything, but the WBC ordered Ursulandi Larda to back into the ring to fight. What's your thoughts on that one?
So, Ursulandi Larda is fighting who? I'm sorry.
TBD. They
J-Rock. Oh.
Uh-oh.
If J-Rock, really, if Larda, he has to be past it. He has to be a bit more past it. And the last fight I saw Larda was hurt, and he did not look really past it. He looked past it in the fact that he just didn't move his feet as much. He was a little more solidified, but his boxing skill is reflexes, his speed.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. Even standing a little more flat-footed with a bigger guy, Laura. I mean, he lost the fight, but he was. He lost it by maybe three or two rounds. He was in the fight the whole time, and he didn't get blown out. He didn't get rocked or anything. Julian Williams is a good fighter, where I'm going to label him a B plus at the most. You know what? No, he's a B fighter. He's a B fighter because I'm going to label maybe Charlo a minus. To be honest, you know, this younger brother Charlo, who I think is a better than J-Rock. I like J-Rock. I like his skill set. I like what he does in the ring. I like the way he thinks against certain competition. He steps up a level, or he steps up against certain other competition. He has. He's a guy who kind of needs to read you a bit. He needs to kind of think about what he's going to do before he does it.
Mm-hmm.
When he has the ability to think about what he does before he does it, it looks smooth. It looks good.
Right.
But when it gets a little more reactionary or a little more hectic, I'm not going to say he folds or gets a little hyper, but he doesn't think it's smooth. And things don't come off as smooth. He gets caught a little bit more. He doesn't transition from offense to defense as well. And he doesn't counter. He just doesn't do things boxingly intelligent as when he's comfortable. And that's the thing about fighting. You have to learn how to do things when you're not comfortable. Well, and Jay Rocky does things pretty good, but a guy like Ursulandi Larda, he is going to what I say, going to take Jay Rock apart. Might not stop him.
Mm-hmm.
He might stop him, actually. He might stop him. But and that's no disrespect to Jay Rock, but that's how good Larda is. He can put him together and go ahead and stop Jay Rock. I just don't think Jay Rock, he's just not, his mind isn't as quick as Ursulandi Larda. And that's the difference. That's all the difference in the world. His mind wasn't as quick as what is it, Jermell Charlo, the older brother Charlo, the bigger brother Charlo, the slower brother Charlo, who actually they was in camp with Larda for years. They've been in camp. The Charlos have been in camp with Larda. That's why they never really set up a fight because they've been camp partners. So J-Rock, I mean, that's a guy that I like him, but he's a certain level. And to be honest, I think that's all he's going to – I think he's not going to crack the upper level. Ursulandi Larda has proven to be upper level for years. And if he hasn't lost a step from the last fight against her, if he hasn't lost at least two steps, then it should be an easy fight for him.
Mm-hmm. It's about that time. Let's try to call Dr. Chris on the air. We never know what we're going to get, but let's go for it.
Good doc.
Can't figure out how to get that turkey off right now. There we go. All right, we'll try one. Oh, that's why. There we go.
Hi, you reached the cell phone of Chris Panarello. He is unavailable to take.
We'll give him a call again later on. One of the guys we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Sullivan Barrera, announced this week that he's got a fight with Irish Shane Monahan on the 13th of November. What's your thoughts on that one?
That's a pretty good, I want to say, a comeback fight for Sullivan. Last time mm-hmm. I seen him was against Bivol, where he put up a pretty good performance, but Bivol was just too good. And that's the first time Sullivan was stopped.
Right.
With that said, I like Sullivan. I like Sullivan's skill set. I like what he brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about Sullivan, he's a big guy for light heavyweight. He's a big guy with range, and he has pretty good power and pretty good timing. The weakness with Sullivan is extremely non-reflective, meaning his reflexes are maybe two steps behind a lot of fighters. Joe Smith wasn't one of them. I like his fight against Joe Smith. Joe Smith's a powerful guy, wants to kind of get his shots off. Joe Smith could box a bit, can't box with Sullivan. Sullivan's a good boxer mm-hmm. when he could take his time and set his own pace. Bivol didn't let him set his own pace. Andre Ward didn't let him set his own pace. Those are the only two defeats that he had.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, it's a good comeback fight to fight Monahan. I'm not sure, is Monahan moving up? Or he's a light heavy? He's I think Monahan, he might be naturally. Okay, so, I remember saying Monahan. Monahan's a good, he's not the slowest fisted guy. He has pretty quick hands, but he still wants to kind of be in front of you. Still kind of wants to do what he wants to do in front of you. He's not the biggest power guy. He's kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, he's going to have to bring the fight to Sullivan. I don't see him really boxing with Sullivan. It takes a high-level guy to bring the weakness out of Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And Monahan, he's good, but he's not a high level. He's not high-level at Sullivan. And when it comes to things like that, this is a comeback fight for Sullivan. Good fight for Monahan to make the money and get the name, but ultimately, Sullivan has something to prove. Sullivan has something to, and as I said, he's a guy who fights with pride. I mean, he does not give it up.
mm-hmm.
So, this is a good comeback fight for him.
Yeah. It's a shame that the Ty's busy tonight because one of his favorite fighters is the next one up, Canelo Alvarez. And he's getting a lot of flack about stepping down mm-hmm. a little to fight Rocky Fielding on the 15th of December. All the trades have really bashed him in on this. But then I'm reading that Fielding might give him a heck of a fight. What's your thoughts?
I wouldn't be surprised. First of all, Sullivan is 168 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Canelo has fought. He has weighed in at 168 pounds one time. And
mm-hmm.
then he put a night of sparring in.
Mm-hmm.
And really, as a middleweight, as 160, Canelo, he's not the biggest guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's moving up essentially a whole weight division from where he just fought at
mm-hmm.
for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it was 165 he weighed in with Chavez. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the most he's weighed is 5 pounds over 160.
Right.
He's the most he's really having had competition against is 160.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean he's going to get resistance out of field.
Sure.
That's the most I'm going to say. The
right.
level of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Fielding's 168. I don't expect him to
mm-hmm.
go out with the first punch.
Right.
Now, getting to Canelo, that's going to be different. When a guy moves up, and he's used to saying faster punches. He's used to saying guys who can throw more than one and not be there. That's when you're fighting
mm-hmm.
at the lower weights. You're moving up. Guys,
mm-hmm.
they're more powerful. You don't want them necessarily leaning on you or landing those punches on certain parts of your body that you would have given up at lighter weights.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you can see things coming. Things aren't coming
mm-hmm.
as many. So now you can
mm-hmm.
get in between those shots a little more, and maybe you could throw a little more of your shots.
Mm-hmm.
When Canelo felt comfortable against Golovkin, he let his especially in the second fight, let his hands go a lot. A lot more than he did in other fights at 155. I say 155 because Canelo always weighed 155 for his 154 fights. But
mm-hmm.
at his junior middleweight, there were fights to where he didn't throw that many punches. Now,
mm-hmm.
maybe they didn't last as long. He didn't need as many punches. But that second fight against Golovkin, Canelo worked a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with his feet, his foot pressure. He worked more.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, as far as Fielding goes, if Golovkin hasn't seen that level of fighter, and Golovkin has an extensive amateur career, a successful extensive amateur career. He hasn't seen that level of fighter dealing with Canelo. Fielding
mm-hmm.
has been nowhere near that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just that alone, they're similar weights. If they're similar weights,
mm-hmm.
that alone, and, I mean, not that only that level of fighter, the level of experience Canelo will see. There's no fighter out right now outside of Manny Pacquiao
mm-hmm.
that has seen that level of experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I mean, Fielding, he's a big guy. He's a bigger guy than Canelo. That's his
mm-hmm.
shot. That's his only
yeah.
shot. Everything else does not play in his favor. The judges don't play in his favor.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, talking about big guys. Gerald Miller KO'd Tomas Adamek in the second round. I mean, we were talking about that last week, and you had mentioned that that's the way you thought it would go, that not that he would be that fast, but that you did think that Miller was too much for Adamek, or Demick, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah. Not that he was too much, that just Adamek was too past it, and that
mm-hmm.
was set up for Miller to do that.
Mm-hmm.
No credit. No credit. I'm sorry, Miller. Still get him taking the fight was not going to get credit.
Right. I'm not really sure. Adamek just got out of one fight, and then he got back into another, and then he's got one set for the end of December. But what gets me is that the guy made. He's a multimillionaire in Poland, and he reinvested everything he made. He invested in housing over in Poland. So, you know, he's not doing it for the money. He must be doing it for the prestige, which at this point, and you were right, they did it in Chicago because they have a large Polish contingent
yeah.
there. But they were silenced at 212 of the second round, and that in itself has to be a big booster for Miller.
Well, don't let Adam X fool you. He did it for the money. The
mm-hmm.
the American dollar still travels pretty good in Poland, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean that his investments are all and good, but I mean it's nothing like a lump sum. Just getting that lump sum. I mean just in one
right.
night. And really, Adam ain't trained. And I don't think he trained. He got his check. Miller, he got his name. You know, I guess everybody's satisfied for the night except for me, because that's just.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't believe in hype when it comes to fighting. I mean, you're in there and people get hurt. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're gonna get hurt going for a better purpose. Get hurt trying to achieve something. I mean, I understand Big Baby. Yeah, he's trying to achieve something. It's working. But as far as the sport's concerned, as far as these other fighters that put in a lot more and get a lot less, that's who I feel for. That's
mm-hmm.
who I'm looking at. I mean, so,
sure.
I mean, that's all I have to say about it. I'm tired of talking about
it.
When he fights somebody, then he will get my proper response.
There you go. All right, let's try Chris one more time before we go into the.
Hello.
Hey Chris, how you doing?
Okay, Frank.
Good.
I missed your first
Good.
Call. I tried to call back.
That's okay. No problem.
All right.
We're on the air, so we just wanted. We were just talking about. We finished up a bunch of things, but we're just going to talk about Joseph Parker's coming back in action on the 15th of December. But as yet, they have. It's still a TBD to be determined who he's going to fight. What's your thoughts on Parker?
Well. You know what? I hope he tries to win this time. I didn't like his last fight. I didn't like his last fight against Joshua.
Dillon White? Last fight was against Dillon White.
Oh, maybe after. Didn't he fight Joshua and lose?
Yep. He fought Joshua.
Yeah, I thought so.
His last fight was against Dillon White. And he lost that.
Okay. He lost that one, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I didn't even know he fought that guy, but he's got everything but heart. He's not a, I don't know. He's not a winner.
If you can YouTube that fight, the Dillon White and Joseph Parker fight, please do. Just, I want you to look at it. It was a good fight. Dillon White, it was a good. It kind of had a little ebb and flow to it. Dillon White got a little tired trying to work. You know, Joshua he works the way not Joshua. Parker works the way Parker works, and Dillon White got a little tired. But then Dillon White started going to Parker's body,
mm-hmm.
and he started going to Parker's body hard, and it became a case of. No, I'm not tired. We're tired. Because, you know, when you start going to that body hard, all of a sudden, you know, now it's two people tired. So Parker stopped. He kind of stopped being aggressive and stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't think he's complete. There's something lacking there. He's not a fiery guy. He's not. I think he's wasting a little bit of his talent. I think he could be better. I think it just take a change in mental attitude. He just, you know, he's got a lot of good things going, but he just something missing. Something missing.
Sounds like you've been around the game. You know, you have guys who, and this is what I think I see in Parker. You have guys who they can set a pace, but then when the pace doesn't become theirs, they can all of a sudden kind of fight a certain way until they maybe either change the pace back or they can just fight that pace. And you have those guys who can only fight at their pace. I think Parker's a guy who can only fight at his pace. If the pace changes or circumstances change in the ring, he can't get past a jab, or all of a sudden he can't control this guy. This guy is hitting his body and taking steam out of him, so he can't work the way he wants to work. Kind of, that's the way it's going to go. One-sided fighters. You have a lot of those guys. And I think
he's just another, at this point, like you say, he's another heavyweight, but there's something lacking there. You know, you could call it heart, you could call it desire, but he's not a fired up guy.
He's durable. He's very durable and he's tough. He's not a fight back guy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Marvin Hagler had Sugar Ray in that corner, and Sugar Ray kind of had to fight back. That is not Joseph Parker.
Well, you know what? I mean, he'll still make a good living at the game.
Yes.
But I don't think he's ever going to be champion. That's the best, you know, I don't think he's ever going to win the title. I don't think he's got what it takes to go all the way. You know, that's the best I could say about him. He's okay. But he's never going to be a champion in my book. I could be wrong. We got a hell of a fight coming up tonight.
Oh yeah. Benavidez and Crawford. Lot of heated tension.
You know what? That Benavidez is better than. He's a pretty damn good fighter, and he's got about 4 inches in height on Crawford.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, and he's a pretty good fighter. I think Crawford's in for a long night, giving away all that reach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as good as he is,
it's exciting, but how proven is Benavidez also? That's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about Crawford may not be the most proven welterweight. Benavidez he's not the most proven welterweight either. And he's also, he's lost part of his career. He got shot. He lost, part of his career during that. Benavidez is tough. He's good. But Crawford is tough and good, too. And to me,
right.
Crawford is more proven. Just competition-wise, Crawford is more proven. Benavidez is bigger. He's naturally the welterweight. But, it's just not,
All I could say is, I don't think Crawford's going to lose, but he's in for a long night. It's not going to be an easy victory for him.
I agree with you because motivation.
Yeah, he's 5'8". The other guy's almost 6 feet, and the other guy can punch. He can fight. So, he's an up and coming guy. He wants to win. He wants to beat Crawford, no question about it. And I think he's got an outside shot at it. I don't know what the odds are, but I'd bet that Crawford's just a slight favorite. I don't think he's heavily favored. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll find out. I won't ever bet against Crawford, let's put it that way, but he's in for a tough fight.
Benavidez is a pretty good boxer. He's a pretty good boxer. So, Crawford's not just going to, I'm not going to say what he's going to do or not going to do, but, Crawford may find it difficult just establishing what Crawford normally establishes. He's going to have to deal with some movement, a little bit of power, and some skill. I mean, Benavidez is not a guy who's going to come in and give up his – if he gives up his height, it's not going to be out of lack of knowledge, I want to say. It's going to be more or less just trying to take advantage of some of the things he has. Maybe his size, just his weight. Because I imagine he's going to come in weighing a bit more than Crawford. With that said, Crawford's sharp. Crawford's sharp. And
he's a talented fighter. He's a talented fighter.
Yeah. Dealing with sharpness, Dr. Chris, dealing with sharpness, you can be powerful, strong, and even fast. But if a guy is sharper and has – in sharper meaning as far as the timing and knows what to do, you just can't deal with that. It doesn't matter how physical you can be. It's hard to deal with that.
Now, I know. He's one hell of a fighter. He adapts to styles. I mean, it takes him a while to figure you out, and then – usually he does figure it out, but you know, I'm thinking. I watched for an hour today. I watched the they had a tune up on tonight's fight, and they were showing you the good points of each fighter and so forth, the highlights. And it looked like to me when it was over, I said, "Damn, this kid's not bad," and he's going to give Crawford a good fight. And I think it's going to happen. But I don't know if he's going to beat him. I don't know if he's that good. I've only seen him one time. I've only seen Benavidez one time. And that wasn't enough. But I've seen Crawford five or six times. So I got to give him an edge. But
that's going to be a difficult fight. What did you think about Benavidez when you saw him, Dr. The short time?
I thought this kid's a pretty damn good. And he brings a fight to you. He's not afraid to come after you. He's not a counter puncher. I thought he was pretty damn aggressive the fight I saw him. And I thought maybe that's what it's going to take to beat a guy like Crawford, take the fight to him. And he's got the height, you know. I mean, he's fought some good competition. It's not as though, he hasn't. He's fought some damn good competition, so.
Yeah.
But I watched that show today. It was on this morning, like a pre-fight show. It was really pretty good. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, you talk about good fighters. You got Stevie Cunningham is working to prepare Bam Bam Flanagan to train for the WBA cruiserweight title. I guess that's going to be on next week, on the 20th. But Stevie's training everybody in Philadelphia now. I guess he's back in Philadelphia. So I know he listens. And Stevie, we hope you give us a call and let us know where your gym is and who else you're preparing for a fight. So the other one is I just got a text from our good friend Joey Tabiri. And he has a fight coming up. Let me just get back to it.
Hey, it's good to hear Joey coming back in the ring.
Yeah, it's in November. It's in November. It's
trying to keep busy. Trying to keep busy,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, and he's got baby. He's got a new baby.
Yeah.
Yep. Joey's going to fight on it's Saturday, December 1st at the Hokesson Powell Center, 7259 Lancaster Pike in Hokesson, if everybody knows where that is. And he's on a card. In fact, he's the main event on the card, co-main event. So it's been put on by D. Lee Promotions with and Nick Tabiri is the matchmaker. So maybe we'll get Nick on and have him talk about his skills at making fights. So we want to let everybody know that. Kell Brooks and Amir Khan. That sounds like almost something that you wouldn't even want to put on, but that's going to be in February. What's your thoughts on that one, Z?
Well, Kelbrook is having a problem with the rehydration clause. Amir Khan wants in there the 10-pound rehydration clause.
Right.
He says that's a weak move by Amir Khan. Part of half of me agrees and half of me doesn't. As a fighter, as a purist in the fighting game, I agree with Kelbrook. That is a weak move. As a businessman in the world that we live in today, that is a very smart move by Amir Khan. You don't want Kelbrook to rehydrate 10 pounds to fight you. As though Kelbrook, I mean, if they're fighting at 147, Kelbrook can't do that. You can't do that. As far as I'm concerned, if I'm Amir Khan, yes, I would negotiate that way. I want to see them fight, and that might be a breaking point. With the rehydration clause is established, that might change my outlook on the styles of the fight, to be honest. I saw Kelbrook at 147. Last time I saw Kelbrook was against Errol Spence, and it looked like that made a difference. If that's going to make a difference against Errol Spence, it should definitely make a difference against Amir Khan as far as the fighting style. He doesn't need to be trained against Amir Khan. Amir Khan moves around too much. He's too fast.
Chris?
I'm not an Amir Khan fan. I think he's too easy to hit. I think he's really easy to hit. When he gets in there, I would say that Kelbrook should knock him the hell out. I would pick Kelbrook in his fight. And I don't think he needs the extra weight to knock out Amir Khan. I think it's just it's another fight for him. But I'm not an Amir Khan fan anymore. I think he's had his best day. And he's very easy to hit. And he doesn't take a punch very well either. So I'd have to go with Kelbrook. Kelbrook's put in with some tough competition, and he's done better. So I think I have to pick him. I'd have to pick him. Because Amir Khan is just, he's in it, but he's not going to ever be champion. He's not durable enough to ever be champion. So he's there making a living. He's an opponent now, and I think he's going to get beat. I think it should be an easy fight for Kelbrook. So
one thing about Amir Khan, and this has been my knock on him for recent years. He's always been looking for the big fight, and he hasn't fought anyone really in between. He's been looking for Floyd Mayweather. He's been looking for Manny Pacquiao. He couldn't find them. He found Canelo Alvarez. He got the money, but we see how that ended up. So now he's kind of been avoiding Kelbrook, really kind of putting him to the back burner, looking for bigger money. But now that's the biggest money. And Amir Khan is going to go to the biggest money. The Greco fights in between just to keep busy, maybe to keep sharp. He's not even concerned with money with that. Now he's fighting Kelbrook. He's going to try to get all. He's going to try to play the Floyd Mayweather role. He's the money guy. He's chasing the money, but now in this fight, he's the money guy. He's essentially the draw. So he's going to play the game. He's going to play the I want the ring this size. I want the gloves this size. I want the rehydration this. You know how that goes. He's the A side. So he's going to play that. Kelbrook doesn't necessarily need Amir Khan, to be honest, but it would be lovely to have that. So we could just have to see how that plays out.
Here's another one I wanted to ask you about, Chris, was your favorite guy to speak about, Tyson Fury. He's challenged Jared Miller to come up and spar with him, and say give him $100,000 to do it. Can he take the hard hitting that Miller may give him, the pounding?
For $100,000, I'm sorry, for $100,000, I will spar Tyson Fury. Well, is he offering that?
No. Yep. Yep.
That's a lot. Just for a spot.
Yeah, he came out with that. Yes. Well, he needs somebody up there that is big and brutal. And I think, I don't know whether it was done for publicity, but that's the offer that's on the table now.
It has to be done for publicity, because if you're getting ready to fight Deontay Wilder, the last person that you should be sparring is Jared Miller.
Right. Chris?
I think he's right on what he just said. I can't believe. It's hard to believe. How much was that offer to come up and spar?
$100,000.
That's a lot of money. To be a sparring partner.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'd like to see Tyson Fury fight once. I'd like to see what the hell he's got left. This guy should give him a good. It would be interesting. He's got to fight somebody good.
He's fighting Deontay Wilder December 1st. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder December 1st.
Oh,
they're
well.
Press conferences and everything. Oh, they're funny.
I didn't know. They're fine. Okay. I forgot about that.
They had one of the face-offs, and you could check it out. You know how Tyson Fury is entertaining. That's crazy stuff. Oh, you love Tyson Fury. You will enjoy all of that.
Hmm. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
But
he's funny.
Sparring partners are important. There's no question about it. But I don't know that. I'm thinking about that now. That's a lot of damn money to pay a sparring partner.
Yeah, it is.
God, that's a lot of damn money.
Most fighters, the majority of fighters don't make that in fights. Don't make that leading up to fights. They don't make that in fights. Think about making that in a year. Do most fighters make that in a year? That's lawyer money.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is this a spar?
Yeah. All right. Let's move on for just one more. I got one more thing I want to ask Chris about. His hometown favorite, Jesse Hart Jr., is going to be fighting Gilberto Ramirez on ESPN on the 4th of December. What's your thought on that one, Chris?
Well, he looked pretty good his last fight. He should get a good fight. And I know a better payday than he had on the previous one. And, I was a little doubtful about him, but he looked pretty damn good on the last fight. So he got a shot. He got a shot at it. I mean, I thought he was living on his father's reputation for a while, but he did okay. He fought pretty well. So he ought to do well in that fight. Guys, it's a pretty even match. I'd like to see that match. Where's it going to be, Frank?
It's going to be it's going to be up in Philly. I'll get a hold of Russell Peltz and see if I can get some press passes for you.
I remember the first fight between Jesse and Gilberto. It was a good fight. It was a good fight. Jesse showed me something in that fight. Jesse's lost by decision. It was a good call by the judges. Jesse showed me something in that fight. He showed me a little bit of everything. And to be honest, that's Jesse's thing. Jesse, when Jesse needs to box. Jesse doesn't box when Jesse needs to box.
Right.
You can pull Jesse into a war. Jesse will look good until for some reason, I don't know if Jesse feels the need or Jesse doesn't keep the steady discipline to do what he can do. I'm going to be totally honest. Jesse has the skill. He has the speed. He has power. And Jesse is tough. Jesse's a tough son of a gun. He has that to be a top-level boxer. There's something in Jesse that makes him want to be a top-level rumbler. He wants to, for some reason, it usually comes a time in the fight to where Jesse's going to fight. And that, at times, of course, Gilberto brought him to that a little too many times. If Jesse can hold discipline, he has a very good shot of winning. If he doesn't, we're going to see a repeat of the other fight, the first fight.
Right.
Simple as that. Jesse, it's all in Jesse's hands.
Well, guys, that brings us to right to the end of our time limit. Chris, it's great to have you on again. As always.
And it sure went fast tonight, Frank.
Yeah, it did. Yep.
Yeah.
Damn.
And, you know, we try to get as many things in as we possibly can to for our listeners. And we have a tentative guest appearance on, I got to get up there tomorrow or Tuesday. We're going to try and get Keith Thurman is going to come on with us.
Hey.
You know, for those who don't know, Keith doesn't do a lot of interviews, and we're really lucky to have him as a friend and willing to do that for us. And so it's a real feather in the cap of all our listeners that he wants to come on and talk to his. His listeners and to everybody on the staff, and he really appreciates the support that we give him. So that'll be for that one, and then we're going to have Chris Jones is a new promoter out of North Carolina. He'll be on in 2 weeks, talking about his fights that he's got going right now at the Bank America Center in Charleston. So, Chris, have a great week. Hope you and Elaine have a fantastic week, and we're always thinking about you. And
real quick,
yep.
I just wanted to, Dr. Chris, I have some time coming up. I want to get with you. I want to meet with you personally, if that's possible.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Can I give you my cell phone?
I'll give it to him off air.
I had it in my other phone briefly, but that got lost for some strange reason. But if Butch could text me your number, I'll be giving you a call early this week, if that's all right.
Sure, hell yeah. I'd like to get together and have lunch with you, you know?
Yep. I'm trying to schedule that as soon as possible.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm pretty clear now. I've been remodeling that one house for my son. And I'm almost done. I'm going to work tomorrow, just trimming, finishing up the driveway. And I'm about ready. You know, I got some time. I got a lot of free time coming up.
Good.
I'd like to meet with you guys. Yeah,
good.
We could even maybe get Joe Tabiri to join us. I talked to Joe recently, and yeah, we could have a nice. Because right in where Joe lives, there's some very good restaurants around there. So
yep.
Okay. We have a nice place
that'd
to meet.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
I've been at their old gym every day. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Like I say, I'm open. I'm open next week. Okay, guys. All right. I'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
All right.
Talk
bye now.
Thanks, bye. Z, you want to lead us out?
I sure do. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Dr. Chris. I want to thank you, Butch, all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Butch?
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you don't realize all the preparation that goes into these shows just for an hour. I want to tell you how much preparation that my friend here does. He walks, talks, and lives the fighting game. He's a it goes way back. Their family goes back way back into when they were young kids and sitting with their dad, Mel, a tremendous powerhouse of himself in doing things for people. And that's why we dedicate this program each and every week to two guys that fought hard to make life easier for other people. That's Mel and Bob. So we want to keep that in mind. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please let them know that you know that they're there, because these are very, very tough times domestically and foreign, on foreign shores. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerbin, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Alco, Longboat Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Charpin Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Police Officer Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, F.D. Lee, Special Inspector Vinny Galaccia, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, though you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly at your fields, and the sunshine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and hope you have a great week.
near at hand with mind of faith, so wish him strength and length of days.
County dispatched in 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Bob, we love you. We miss you.